I wanted to get right into the word of the Lord this morning and ask the question. This is the sort of the title of my message. So I want to ask this question. Why is this generation fighting for its spiritual survival? Psalms 22, 30 through 31. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. This is future tense down the road. He hath done this. Psalms 102, 16 through 18, one of my favorite prophetic verses. When the Lord shall build up Zion, that's the city of Jerusalem, he will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and he will not despise their prayer. This will be written, what I just read, would be written for the generation to come. And the Hebrew there, generation to come is acharon, and it means the end of the end, the last on a list. So it really is saying the final generation that will see the Lord appear. This will be written for them, and they will be a people that shall be created who shall praise the Lord.
Amen.
Is that just not the greatest verse? So, because Jerusalem has been built up because we're near the return of the Lord, there is a generation that come out of your mother's womb that were to be praisers. You were born to be a worshiper. You were born to be a praiser. And I want you to understand a couple things. Number one, God thinks generationally. In the scriptures, it's the promises to you, your children, and to all, that means generations that are far off. God's promises are also generational. They are passed on from father to son, mother to daughter, etc. God's power is generational. So in other words, when he promised the outpouring of the Spirit, Peter talks about it will come to as many as the Lord our God shall call. That doesn't mean call in the ministry. That means all of those who were called to repentance will be a part of receiving the Holy Spirit. But now, Satan is battling for an entire generation to somehow destroy or disrupt the generation that you are a part of. And I want you to understand something about generational battles. A generational battle is always about what's happened in the future. Your battle is never about the present. You feel it emotionally in the present. But any battle you go through, remember this, is a threat assessment that the kingdom of darkness has made of a danger that you are to them. So they prevent to hinder you from getting to that destination. And that's what the whole battle is about. Years ago, I'm going to tell a very strange story that was related to me by a friend of mine in South Carolina. There's a Christian Bible college, a great Bible college in Lakeland, Florida. There was a student many years ago by the name of Kenny that attended the Christian Bible school. Kenny, however, slipped away from God and got very heavy in the occult. As they went to pray for him in a service, he began to contort, convulse, and he actually had become possessed by a spirit. And the spirit gave its name. I am Wah Shan Chua. Now, that's a very weird name. Somebody happened to write it down, the friend of mine. And they'd start trying to research, what in the world does that name mean? Well, it just so happens that two of the words are Chinese. And Hua, to dig out, Shan, a mountain, Chua, slowly. So it can be interpreted, I am a spirit that slowly can take control. And that was the name of the spirit. Well, here's the bizarre part. Kenny gets delivered. That's the great part. But the bizarre part was, 800 miles away, many months later, he goes to a church in Evansville, Indiana to preach. And it just so happened that a woman had started attending that church that had been very heavy involved in the occult and witchcraft. Kenny never told the story about Wah Shan Chua. She didn't know anything about it. No one in the area knew anything about it. But they start praying over this woman who had been in witchcraft, who was still under a spirit of bondage. A voice took over the woman as he began to cast the devil out and began to reveal spirits of hate and spirits of perversion. Suddenly, her voice changed into a man's voice, and the voice said, "Hello, I'm Wah Shan Chua. We meet again." Now, I didn't say that to freak you out, although the ooh tells me that kind of freaked you out a little bit, right? But I wanted to show you that to tell you that spiritual warfare is really not a joke. And this battle that we're in is not a joke. We really are wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places. But every generation has had their traps. This is the point I want to make before I go further. In the 1920s through the 40s, it was moonshine. Now, that may not mean a thing to you now, but everybody from West Virginia, Kentucky, and Southwest Virginia probably has relatives that were bootleggers and moonshiners. All right. And the IRS wanted the revenue, so they legalized alcohol. They got with some companies. companies to legalize it so they could tax it, because they were mad, not because of the moonshiners. They were mad because they weren't getting the tax revenue. Anyway, moonshining was big in the 20s and 40s. And then in the 50s and 60s, there was something called rock and roll. Rock and roll was started, believe this or not, by Jerry Lee Lewis, who was Pentecostal. He was Assemblies of God background. Elvis Presley, who was raised in the Assemblies of God. And Mickey Gilley, who started more of a country term, was raised in the Assemblies of God. All of your black singers in early rock and roll were raised either in a Pentecostal church or a Baptist church. Is it not odd that the churches that believed in worship, that kids came along out of those churches who started an opposing movement? And of course, the music back then, when you listen to it now, you listen to Elvis, you laugh at it. But back in that day, he was shaking his hips and we'd come on, somebody. Let me just say, he was shaking in the wrong direction. Anybody understand what I'm saying? But Elvis always loved the Lord, even in the battle that he was in his life. And that's another story. In the 1970s and to the 90s, it was LSD, heroin, and cocaine. 52 rock and roll singers died early deaths. The average of a rock and roll musician that died, if he was a man, was 45 years of age. The average for a female was 60 years of age. Now think about that. 52 died either from alcohol poisoning or they died from drug overdoses from the 70s into the 90s. In the year 2000, when we get to the year 2000, the battle became alcohol, meth, and now it's fentanyl. I have found out from people who do drugs, not do drugs, let me say this, people who deal with drugs and, you know, capturing illegal drugs at the border, etc., that everything is laced now. Every pill has a trace of fentanyl. And fentanyl, we had a young man in town, his mother's probably here this morning, lived in the apartments over there. Somebody brought him just a pill to help him to sleep, and he did not know it was laced in fentanyl. On Christmas Day, he died in the apartments over here. And he actually attended our ministry here and was doing quite well. He was off of drugs. He really loved the Lord. He didn't know what was going to happen to him. But everything is traced. Marijuana is now laced, I should say. The pills are laced. And the reason they do it is to instantly addict you the moment you take it. You've got to stay away from marijuana. You've got to stay away from pills, because I'm telling you, it's laced with stuff that will not only addict you, it is literally laced with stuff that could kill you. And you'll never have another opportunity to do anything for God or anything in your life. We also now are battling, and this generation, you know, you battle this a lot. They're battling what we call instant pornography, internet deception, kids that are running away with sex traffickers thinking it's a young boyfriend. This is a battle. Somebody say it's a battle. Now, if you would have lived in my day, I'm going to tell you something that it was different. How many go to a public school? Raise your hand if you go to a public school. All right, let me talk about the public school. When I was a kid that I went to in the 1960s in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, from kindergarten to third grade. In 1962, there was prayer and Bible reading every morning in every classroom. There was a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag in every classroom. I can remember in Big Stone Gap as a kid saying, we have an assembly. We'd go to an assembly hall, the whole school would, and there would be an evangelist teaching the Bible. There would be an evangelist in a revival teaching to all the kids in the auditorium. There were Bible clubs when I grew up. There were Christian teachers that were heading up the Bible clubs in the morning and sometimes even during lunch breaks. You could carry a Bible to school. You could wear a Christian t-shirt, crosses, Christian jewelry, almost with no persecution whatsoever. Always there was a few bullies, but basically without persecution. When a student was hurting or injured on the playground, guess what happened? A teacher normally would come and ask the students to gather around and pray for the student. Now, in the 1960s, prayer and Bible reading was banned. And now in our generation, in our lifetime right now, there is legal action continually being taken against public schools if they allow prayer, if they allow an assembly. If you wear Christian jewelry, they ask you to hide it. If you wear a Christian t-shirt, they ask you to take it off and not wear it again. They're against witnessing. They're against what they call conversions, trying to convert somebody. So we have got a generation, and it's not your fault, kids. It's the fault of the adults who preceded you. It's the fault of the adults that allowed prayer and Bible reading to be taken out without protesting at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. when it happened. So don't blame it on yourself. You are a byproduct of previous generations, but the enemy is taking advantage of so many in this day and time. So I've got to ask you this. Why are we hit with what I call from the Old Testament a spirit of confusion? We could talk about gender confusion there if we would like, but spirit of confusion, and it's mentioned in the book of Leviticus. And what about something that's called the curse of madness, where people are just mad all the time, angry all the time, giving their opinion all the time? So we have to ask ourselves, what is happening to cause our arch enemy, the Satan with the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness, the wicked spirits in heavenly places, Ephesians 6 and 12, what is happening to cause him to come down to this level to literally attack individuals in every rural town, every city, and especially young people? I believe the answer is this, and I have to say this for the especially the adults who love prophecy with our conference coming up here at the end of the month. We are living in what I call prophetic seasons. Prophetic seasons are throughout history, 6,000 years of them. And they are times when God has predicted something, and that prediction is about to come to pass. And here's what I want to tell you. When you read about ancient Israel and you read about the Jews and the Gentiles in the New Testament, here's what you will discover. That Satan always showed up in some form using a negative person to attack God's people during a major prophetic season. Let me give them to you quickly. Before Israel departed from Egypt in Exodus 12, a destroying angel was sent into the land of Egypt, and only by the blood of the lamb were the firstborn spared in the Hebrew families. When Israel was crossing into the promised land 40 years after wandering in the wilderness, you will read in the book of Jude verse 9 that Michael the archangel wrestled Satan over the body of Moses, and God had to personally bury the body of Moses in the plains of Pisgah. I've been there many times on Holy Land trips, and nobody knows where Moses is buried to this day. Satan shows up to wrestle over a dead body. Think about that. Before the children of Israel went to the promised land. And I asked the Lord one time, what was that about? He said, if the children of Israel would have found the body of Moses, they loved him so much, they would have built memorials like they did in Egypt. They'd have built a pyramid or something, put his body in it, and never crossed the promised land. And I can prove it, because 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on that side anyway, and they would have never fulfilled their promise. And Satan knew, give me the man's body, let him find it, they'll fall short of the promise that God has given them. When Israel was rebuilding their temple after the Babylonian captivity, Zechariah 3 said Satan himself shows up in Jerusalem at the altar to try to stop the high priest from offering a sacrifice because he had dirty garments that hadn't been worn by a priest in 70 years. Satan shows up during major prophetic seasons. When the angels announced that Christ was born in Bethlehem, and Herod found out where the new king was born, he sent men to kill all the children under 2 years of age in a radius of Ramah, which was a 10-mile radius, including Bethlehem. When Christ was baptized at the Jordan River, immediately the Spirit of God said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And he goes to the wilderness where Satan challenges him to say, if you are the Son of God, during a 40-day fast. What's he doing? He's trying to preempt Jesus' public ministry. The man of Gadara was possessed by 2,000 demons. And he actually ran from the tombs to a boat to attack Jesus. And when he saw who Jesus was, the demons fell down and began to worship and said, do not torment us before the time. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is this, that I could give you many examples that every time God is about to do something big in the earth or in Israel or among the Gentile nations, every time there will be very weird demonic attacks inspired by Satan. And there's three reasons why Satan and demons are so stirred up right now. Number one, Satan, according to Revelation 12:12, is going to come down with great wrath. Ready? Knowing he has a short time. I got news for somebody here. We're not running out of time, because if we die, we go to heaven and live forever. If Jesus comes, we get a new body and live forever. Me and you have nothing but eternity and life in eternity in front of us. The person running out of time is the devil, who knows his time is running out, and he's going to be bound for 1,000 years in the abyss, come out for a season, and end up in the lake of fire. He knows that there is a generation that 2,600 years ago a prophet wrote about, and that 2,000 years ago Simon Peter quoted that prophet's verse, and he knows what's about to happen big. Folks, Young people, listen to me. We've had hundreds receive the Holy Spirit here, and we could call that an outpouring. But you have yet to see. I'm telling you, you might as well mark this down. Perry Stone said it on Sunday morning at Warrior Fest. You are about to live through and be able to experience the wildest, greatest move of the Holy Ghost that has ever hit the world. The world. So let me explain it to all the young people that may be watching me or young people that are here today. Here is the reason why this generation is being fought at the level that it's being fought. Ready? Because you are the only generation biblically since the generation who saw the birth, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That was a big generation. You know that. The church was started then. But you are the only generation that is marked with a promise. You say, wait a minute, there's other generations. No, you don't understand. I read to you in Psalms, this will be written for the generation to come, the Aharon, the end generation, which shall be created to praise the Lord. And the Lord shall appear when that generation watches Jerusalem built up and expand and grow. Are you tracking with me, somebody? Here's your promise verse. It shall come to pass afterwards. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And upon my servants and my handmaids in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. And then if you keep reading, he talks about solar eclipses, blood moons, volcanic eruptions. And I'm interpreting that because that's what those verses mean. The sun turned to darkness, moon to blood, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. And he says in Joel, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Everything you're seeing with tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, blood moons, solar eclipses, which one's happening tomorrow, big one's happening tomorrow. The reason that I'm excited when I see that, it's not negative to me, it's not negative news to me, is Joel said, all this happens before the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great and terrible day of the Lord is a Hebrew phrase for the great tribulation. When the Antichrist comes and the 10 kings comes and all that that you read about in the book of Revelation, all those weird, freaky looking beasts that are flying around that's actually symbolism. The outpouring of the Spirit is going to happen before the great tribulation comes and at the end of the age when the gospel is reaching the nations of the world. God said, I'm going to mark a group. Globally, of sons. Who's a son? How many of you know you're a boy? Raise your hand. Come on. How many of you know you're a man? All right, good. Glad to know that. That's 90. That's 100% of you. Where's the ladies? Come on. How many know you're a girl? All right. Listen to this. You are a son and you are a daughter. We are not yet in the tribulation. We've got solar eclipses. We've got blood moons. We've got volcanic. We've got everything Joel said happening in one generation. Yeah, that's where y'all need to shout and say, that's me. Oh, my Lord, that's me. The Lord's talking about me. The Lord's talking about me. The Lord's talking about me. Now, real quick, five generations. There's probably more, but these are the basic ones you'd be familiar with. Were marked. Noah and his family were marked for 100 years to build an ark and survive a flood. That's a major prophecy being fulfilled, and that is a marked generation. He was marked. When Moses told the children of Israel, put the blood of the lamb on the left, right post, and upper post of the door to keep the death angel from killing their firstborn, that was a generation that was marked. I wish I had time to develop all this deeper. In the Babylonian captivity, there was a group of Jews that were going to die in Babylon. There was a group that was going to come out after 70 years. And the group came out after 70 years and went back to Jerusalem, rebuilt the city, rebuilt Jerusalem, and reestablished the temple worship there. They were marked. There was a generation of Ezra and Nehemiah that were marked by Almighty God to be a part of a fulfillment of a prophet that's 150 years old in their day. 150-year-old prophecy. Then you find at Christ's birth that Christ was born, but he ascended. And when Christ ascended, the church was born several days later in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They were a marked generation. In fact, the Bible says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Wait, Royal is king, right? Priest is priesthood. So how can you be a king and a priest? Because in the book of Revelation, John says the Lord said to him, "For they are kings and priests unto me." Why does God make you a little king? He makes you a little king. Why? Because kings have authority. Why does he make you a priest unto him? Because priests offer sacrifices and worship. So when you're here in this room, you've got to understand that when you open your mouth based on the word, you have the authority that a king would have to silence an army, go to battle, win a victory. Everything a king has, you have that. Because you're a king and priest unto God. When you worship, you're doing the priestly thing. Can I just break it down this way? I got a sidetrack on a rabbit trail. Jesus is called a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a mysterious man in Genesis 14 that was the first king and priest of the Most High God that Abraham met and paid tithe to. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. That's what his name means. But Melchizedek was a king of Jerusalem, but he was also called a priest unto the Most High God. Jesus is called in Hebrews a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Not Aaron, not Zadok, those were two others, but Melchizedek. Why? Because right now, he is the high priest of heaven. He has a priestly ministry, okay? Melchizedek was a priest unto God. But wait a minute, in Revelation 19, he's going to come back to earth, and he's going to be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So he's a priest now, but he's about to be a king. And guess what? All you little kings and queens out there, when Jesus comes back, you will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years because you are faithful and true to the Lord. Somebody give him a praise in this house because you were faithful and true. Woo! Glory to God.
During the 2024 Prophetic Summit, five speakers unlocked unusual prophetic mysteries, presenting striking insights that many attendees had never heard. We received several testimonies from those who attended. One attendee shared,
"I've studied the Bible my entire life. I binge-watch prophecy programs. Before I came to the conference, I thought I'd heard everything. But after listening to these 13 messages and speakers, I realized I haven't even heard half of it, and certainly don't know as much as I thought."
The 13 2024 Prophetic Summit messages are now available on CD, DVD, USB drive as MP3 audio files, as well as video on demand. Hear Jonathan Kahn as he unveiled the Josiah Manifesto, unlocking more end-time mysteries and patterns. Bill Cloud examined the question, "Where in the world is Palestine?" He later taught what the Bible reveals about global warming. It's not what you think. Mark Biltz exposed the designs and plots of the internal war in America. Mark's second message is illustrated with PowerPoint charts, helping identify the true biblical calendar and amazing prophetic parallels. Lance Wallnau released a stunning revelation titled, "How God Will Soon Shake the Visible and Invisible Kingdoms." Lance's second teaching will teach you about receiving the firstborn anointing that brings about the final fall of Satan's influence and the demise of his kingdom. Billy Crone proved by 12 facts exposing that aliens are actually demonic manifestations. You certainly don't want to miss this insightful message. Perry Stone's five new messages are 16 Harbingers, Parallels of the Days of Noah and Lot. Perry then explains the mystery of the eighth beast and the death wound that is healed. In his third message, Perry will give you the seven things that must happen before the Antichrist arrives. You will then be enthralled when Perry transports you into the future with the message, "The Mystery of the New Heavens on the New Earth." This includes the biblical prophecy of an opening on earth where saints on the new earth can peer into hell. Then Perry's most talked about and stirring message, exposing an early family secret in his Italian family, is called the 1915 Warning. This message could save your family's life. This truth can transform your relatives and children for eternity. The 13 audio CDs or USB drive are $70. The 13 DVDs are $105 per set, and the video on demand is available for $90. Invest in your future. Be informed of what is coming. Discover God's latest word on the last days. Listen or watch over and over again and glean important spiritual insights. You may order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323 or go online at perrystone.org. You may also send a check or money order and order by using the product codes on the screen. The address is Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Order today. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
One of the greatest offers that we have every year is our International Prophetic Summit. So if you haven't got the teaching yet, you are investing in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And the Bible tells us those are three great things in Proverbs that you should be connected with and you should associate yourself with: wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I promise you, these 13 messages are not just normal messages you're going to hear on a Sunday morning or Sunday night or at most conferences. This is the meat. This is the T-bone steak. This is the filet mignon. People tell me, I had a guy, you know, I'm a prophecy buff. I know it all. And he goes here and says, I didn't know nothing. I mean, people hear this teaching and say, I thought I knew something. And so if you've studied prophecy for years or you're just new at it, this is something for you. All right, I'm going to go through these real quick. I'm going to be in Willis, Texas. Now, folks down in Texas, you know this is my yearly meeting, Friday and Saturday on August 16th and 17th. I'm going to slip over to the Huntsville campus on August the 18th, and then I'm coming to Christ Temple Church for our big conference August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And some of you folks from Ashland, from Kentucky, you need to drive up. You're right across the river. Some of you folks from Ohio, you're close. So don't miss this. This is going to be a powerful time together. Jesus People Proclaim International Church, Billy and Cynthia Thompson, and that will be in Deerfield Beach, Florida. And that's a new place. We've never been there. So all you Florida folks need to come and be a part of that if you can. Sheridan Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, of course, don't forget our main event. And that's very important. Go to perrystone.org because there may be places I'm coming to that are not listed on this paper. So always keep up with the itinerary. Don't forget to register for the Awaken America Conference, which is coming up. And I want you to continue to pray for us. My little wife's having to have knee replacement surgery. She's had shingles and she's had an after effect for 10 months now with a nerve that's injured. And so right near her eye, by the way. So everybody remember Pam Stone, ask God to speed up the process of healing her, because we need the woman of God every day beside us doing the work of God. Thank you for your prayers and your thoughts. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z, with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.